Happy New Year. We've said that 100 times this morning already, but 2023 is already upon us. So are you refreshed and ready for the new year?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You can be honest. Are there any New Year resolutions out there? I saw a lot of nays. I think I stopped making New Year resolutions a long time ago when, you know, I realized my new effort would last about 2 weeks. And if you think you're refreshed and ready for the new year, the best way to destroy that feeling is to go ahead and make a New Year's resolution and watch it go up in smoke before your eyes before the end of January. Anyway, my New Year's resolution is to clean the garage, yam. Like I said, I stopped making New Year's resolutions. Well, this time of year, you know, we say Happy New Year, and it can be, Merry Christmas. It can be a joyful time for many, but the reality is that a lot of us are, you know, maybe not quite as joyful or happy deep inside as we really want to be, and the holidays for many can be the most stressful time of the year or even the most depressing. And many people struggle with loneliness this time of year. And in fact, I was just talking to one of my best friends the other day from Canada, and he said he felt so lonely on Christmas Day. And unfortunately, you know, Christmas for him came with a family tragedy, so he was apart from his wife during that time, and just unfortunate. But this loneliness and depression is the story for, you know, too many people during the holidays, and I think it is attached to a loss that is magnified during the holidays, maybe loss of companionship, loss of a loved one, or the longing to return to a place or a time when everything in your life just seemed right. And that's typically what happens for me when the older I get, and as holidays come along, which thankfully I have a beautiful family and it helps, but you know, I wish I was a kid again. How many people wish they were a kid again during Christmas time? I kind of do. That's the only time I wish I was a kid again, pretty much so. All right, well, you know, I don't know where you are in your heart right now, but the scripture for this morning, I think, is the perfect scripture for coming into a new year, regardless of where your heart is. This passage is about love and eternal assurance, the promise that we have from Jesus that we will never be alone because he loves us and he has given us the greatest gift we could ever receive. So this morning, in whatever is going on in your heart, whether you are in a place of peace and joy, great contentment, or fighting back depression and loneliness, I pray that this message will fill you with just a lasting assurance of God's love through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that from now on, every time you come to this time of year, you will always remember the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you right now, even as I speak, and you will go into 2023 overflowing with the gift of the Holy Spirit, renewed, revived, and ready to conquer the new year in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's turn to the passage for this morning. It's John 14, 15 to 24. And this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. John 14, 15 through 24. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much for this word. Thank you that you did not leave us orphans, Lord, and that you did send your Holy Spirit to us, Lord, to be with us and to live within us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our lives, Lord God, and that we can have confidence in you and assurance, knowing that you are with us, Lord, and that you're there to guide us and lead us, Lord Jesus, and to be with us in all things, no matter what is happening in our lives, Father God. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to make a quick little adjustment here, and I hope that this will help. Okay, there we go. So this morning, we're going to focus on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is different than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts of the Spirit to each believer, but the ultimate gift and the most perfect gift is the Holy Spirit. And so I want to tell you, if you have no other gift, if the only gift you have is the Holy Spirit, then you really have the only gift you'll ever need. So if you're coming to church wondering whether the gifts or talents you have are enough, or wondering if you're even gifted enough to make a difference, or whether you really even matter in this world, not just for the church, but for the whole world, you need to know that you, as a follower of Jesus, have the only gift that you will ever need, and that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? So don't get caught up too much trying to figure out what gifts of the Spirit you have. And I would say don't even focus too much on the gifts of the Spirit right now. Instead, turn to the Holy Spirit, set your focus on Him, and surrender to Him. So this morning, we will focus on the gift of the Holy Spirit and what His presence means for us. So first, there are two conditions that I've seen in the Bible that are apparent upon receiving the Holy Spirit. And the first condition is that simply you are a follower of Christ. And by follower of Christ, I mean one who truly loves Jesus, a true disciple of Christ. Jesus started off in this passage that we saw here with the words, "If you love me." So this is the first condition, loving Jesus. And the second condition is really kind of an outflow or the proof of our love for Jesus, and that is keeping his commands. And I kind of hope that threw you off a little bit. Did me the first time, as I tried to contemplate this. But let's talk about this for a minute. I think we can learn a lot about the nature of true love through what Jesus says here. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And later in verse 21, he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." So I think this is the true nature of love. Right here, if you love someone, then it's really simple. You're going to do whatever it takes to keep the person around, right? Or to show them that you love them. And the funny thing is, if you're brave enough to venture into the territory of loving someone, you'll find out real quick that throwing all of your lovey-dovey affection on the person is not really a sustainable way of proving your love. In fact, that can be a good way to push a person away, right? All right, sometimes a strong, a really strong hug or a good strong hug it's appropriate, yes. There are times for that. But a lot of times, it's the worst thing. And I'm going to give you a real life example, all right? So Yam and I have been married for about 22 years. And so, here we go. Yam comes to me and says, "Honey, the garage is a real mess. Honey, could you clean the garage for me, please, honey? And I say, you know, and I, sensing that now is a really good time to show her I love her, walk up to her and I give her a great big hug. And I walk away. Then a month goes by and she comes back to me and says, honey, the garage is pretty messy. Can you come and clean it for me? And I, sensing that this is, again, a really good time to just assure her that I love her so much, I go up to her and give her a really big, this time long, tight hug. The warmth of that hug feels so good. And I walk away. So another month and a couple years go by. And this time she comes to me really, really, really annoyed about the garage. And what do you guys think will happen if I try to hug her again? Not happening. More likely to get a swift uppercut right in the gut, right? So the point is, love is proven by sacrifice, not by empty New Year's resolutions. One more story. I was watching the reality show called Hoarders. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's a show about a crew that helps hoarders overcome their hoarding problem. And this is serious hoarding. I'm not talking about excessive clutter here. This is a hoarding that completely takes over a person's home with mountains of stuff in boxes and, you know, in garbage. And well, there was this one gentleman they were following, and he was encouraged by the crew to enlist the help of his lady friend, who was one of his best friends. And she had no idea the extent of his problem. So the camera showed when she came into his house for the very first time, and she was absolutely astonished. I mean, she was flabbergasted. And I'll never forget this. She just started yelling as she was trying to make her way through. She started yelling over and over again, "You don't love me! You don't love me!" It was kind of funny, but that very raw moment caught on a live reality TV set was really profound. And that moment captured a powerful spiritual reality, I think, about love. And that is, the essence of true love is unselfish sacrifice. And we can get so cluttered inside our hearts with our own selfish desires and wants and needs that when the people closest to us try to step inside our hearts, they find that there's no room for them. And they can sense that. They feel like you don't love them. So I don't mean to give advice about love, but the truth is, if you love someone, you're going to do whatever it takes to keep them around, right? And true love is always backed by sacrificial action. Selfless sacrifice. Selfless sacrifice. God loved us so much that he paid for our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus so that he could keep us around. And the way that we prove our love for Jesus is by keeping his commandments. That sounds kind of odd, but the beauty of this is that his command is that we love each other. John 15, 17 says, "This is my command. Love each other." Simple as that. So we prove our love for God by loving each other, and loving each other means that we are following what Jesus teaches, keeping his commands. Why? Because every one of Jesus's commands is about loving God and loving others. It's all about loving God and loving others. And I think it's amazing that Jesus talks about loving him and keeping his commands as he teaches about the Holy Spirit in this passage and context, because we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We can't really do that without the Holy Spirit. So back to the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are two conditions that come with receiving the Holy Spirit. They are loving Jesus and keeping his commands. Simply put, if you love Jesus and you love others as Jesus commands, then the Father God will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and to be with you forever. So if you love Jesus and follow his teachings, you will receive the Holy Spirit, who vouches for you and confirms that you are his. At the end of this message, I'm going to take a few minutes to give you the opportunity to ask for and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a very special gift reserved only for those who believe in Jesus and follow him. And you might already have, you might already know that you have the Holy Spirit within you. So this is the time to focus on the gift of his presence. But some of you may have questions or may not be sure if you really have the Holy Spirit. Well, this is a time to receive that full assurance from Father God that you have the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is his promise to us. All right, so let's turn our focus to the Holy Spirit for the rest of this message. And we're going to see all of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit not only does for us, but who he is for us. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth is unacceptable to the world. So the world cannot accept the Spirit of truth. So at first, the Holy Spirit's work within you is going to seem alien to the world that you know. At first, especially in our culture, the Holy Spirit's work might kind of tilt your equilibrium. And his work might throw you off a little bit as he begins to chip away at the influence of the world within you. So if you've accepted Jesus and then you start to feel unsettled by the Word of God, this is a pretty good indication that the Holy Spirit is starting to chip away at the world's influence in your heart. So don't resist his work. Don't resist the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're in that place right now, I encourage you to set your focus on the Holy Spirit and trust him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, and he will show you the truth, because he is the Spirit of truth that is different than the kind of truth you've learned from the world. And because his truth is different than the world's not going to like what you stand for. The world's not going to like it. But that's okay, because you don't need the world. The Holy Spirit is all you need. Don't let yourself be lied to or deceived. Trust in the Lord, not in your own understanding. I'm going to take just the final minutes of this message to just highlight the great work of the Holy Spirit and who he is for us found in Scripture. And I hope that these statements will minister to your heart and bring warmth where you need it. And I have scripture references for every single one of these statements that you can get from my sermon manuscript, which will be available in the lobby. There's a few back there. And I'll have them up also, some of them up here. But if you're not able to write them down fast enough and you want to study the Holy Spirit, then you can grab manuscript later. It's a fascinating study. So, and it's actually deeper than where I'm going right now. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is fully God from the beginning. From the beginning, and personal in nature, not a force or an it. And he carries out the saving work of God on earth as God. So the personal nature of the Holy Spirit is such that he has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions that cannot be grieved, the ability to speak and hear. And he can be sinned against as humans can sin against God. This means that the Holy Spirit is not a mere influence from God, but a personal being, the third person of the Trinity. He is God personally living with you and within you in intimate communion with your spirit. Isn't that good news? He speaks to you and he hears you. He reveals the will of God to you. And he feels every emotion that you are feeling. He feels every emotion that you're feeling. The Holy Spirit is a seal and a promise for your eternal inheritance. This means that you've been marked for ownership. God has claimed you as his own and marked you for eternity. The presence of the Holy Spirit within guarantees that you are set for eternal life with God, and nothing can steal his presence from you. Nothing can take away your inheritance. if the Holy Spirit has marked you, that's it. And that's our hope. Amen? The Holy Spirit empowers and gives you all that you need to live a thriving spiritual life. He strengthens you in times of dire weakness. He gives you gifts that you might effectively love and serve Him and others. He gives you boldness to speak out about Christ and what He has done in your life, which is going to be the most amazing things that have ever happened to you. The power of the Spirit is yours to accomplish God's great plan and purpose for your life. Amen? The Holy Spirit refreshes you. This is my favorite work of the Spirit, I think. Refreshes you and renews your heart. So in those times of weariness where you are left feeling dead inside, the Holy Spirit calls you to come and drink from His well. Come and drink from His well. He will restore you from the deepest part of your soul until you are overflowing. If you are weary, dry, and dead inside, come to Him now. You can come to Him right now and drink from the well that never runs dry. The Holy Spirit is your comforter, your helper, and your confidence. When your heart is troubled and you need a comforting touch, the Holy Spirit is with you to calm your fears. When you have nowhere to turn and you're in desperate need of a helper, He extends His loving hand and He sits firmly by your side to help you through whatever it is you're going through. When you have lost all confidence and your heart just deflates, He becomes your confidence and rebuilds your faith. The Holy Spirit gives you direction. He will lead you in God's way so that you will never, ever lose your way. He will remind you of the words of God, and He'll counsel your heart when you need it. He will give you words to speak in the right time when it is your time to speak for Him. You'll not shrink away in shyness when you need to step out. He will guide you and lead you, and you will know by His Spirit that you will not fail, even if you stumble. Even if you stumble, He will pick you up and lead you gently in His way. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He shows your heart what sin is. He instructs you about what is righteous, and He brings godly judgment to your heart so that you know what is good in God's sight. He also convicts the world of sin so that they will know that there is indeed a God, a righteous God, who requires an account from all of humankind. The Holy Spirit baptizes you and immerses you in His wonderful love. He sanctifies you and He makes you holy, totally set apart for God. When the filth of this world and your sin has darkened your soul, let the Holy Spirit wash over you and make you clean again. Open up and receive His cleansing power. He will wash you completely and He'll wipe away that awful filth. And this is His work. All you need to do is open your heart to Him. It's His work. The Holy Spirit fills you with the fruit of the Spirit. He is the source of your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, and your self-control. I'm going to say those again because this is what we need. Love, so Holy Spirit, He is the source of your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, and your self-control. Think about each one of those words. By the Holy Spirit, your heart will be filled with all of these things and more. So live by the Spirit. Surrender to the Spirit. And go with Him. Go with Him. All of this is yours. All you have to do is say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, come, Holy Spirit. I want to take this last moment to give you the opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. And if you are not a follower of Jesus and you want to give your life to Him and receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you right now where you're seated, or if you're listening, to simply say yes to Jesus. Open your heart to Him and let Him in. And you can do that right now. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're not sure that you even have the Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit, and He will come into you and He'll open your eyes to His presence. Actually, if you have accepted the Lord, you're truly a follower of Jesus, you already have the Holy Spirit. You just need to be awakened to His reality within you. Even if you are certain that you already have the Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to receive a special touch from Him and be immersed in His presence, that you might have a deeper recognition of the Holy Spirit within you and a deeper knowledge of His presence in your life. So I invite you right now to respond to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I want to invite everyone here right now just to pray this very simple, not very wordy prayer out loud with me. This is all it takes. So will you repeat after me as we pray this? Dear Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are alive today.
I believe that You are God.
I give my heart and life to You. To follow You all the days of my life. I ask for the gift of Your Holy Spirit right now. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. I invite you to close your eyes as we close this message this morning. Lord Jesus, You see each and every heart here. And I know that You have given us Your Holy Spirit, Lord, from the very day that we accepted You. And right now I pray again that just the presence of Your Holy Spirit will come and fill our hearts right now, Lord Jesus. Fill us with Your presence, Lord, and all of those great things that, Lord, that I just shared this morning. I pray that all of those things will become reality by Your Spirit within our hearts. Lord, I thank You that You did not leave us as orphans, Lord Jesus. You did not just spin the world around with Your finger and then turn around and say, okay, I'll be back later. Keep spinning, world. You didn't just set things in motion and say, yeah, do what You do, and I'll come back to You at some point in time. In the meantime, just enjoy this spinning planet that I've created. You didn't do that, Lord. Instead, You came to us, Lord Jesus, and You left Your Holy Spirit with us, which is You walking on this planet, Lord Jesus. It's just like You walking on this planet, working through us, and working in our very hearts, Lord Jesus. And that's really what's needed in this world, is a work in the hearts of people, Lord Jesus. And You do that by Your Holy Spirit. I thank You. I thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for being within our hearts, and for guiding us, Lord, and leading us, Lord, and comforting us, and being our helper, and for filling us with the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, all these great things, Lord Jesus, that we need in our lives, Lord. Thank You for repairing our insides, Lord, for stitching us up, Lord, making us whole again. Thank You for that, Lord Jesus, guiding us into Your truth, helping us to know who You are, pointing us to
Jesus and the Father. I thank you for that, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.